Say, do Origamikaze pilots intentionally crash their paper airplanes into their enemies' paper boats? Hey Deadpan, welcome to number 242. Those of you with kids are very, very familiar with this joke. Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana who? Banana, banana who? Banana, banana who? And so on and so forth. Yeah, that's how the zany Deadpan beginnings were starting to feel. That's not to discourage you from creating one. If you have a great idea, then by all means send it in and we'll play it. But that's to discourage me from doing any more for a little while. But as I said, there's been some inspired work from a lot of you out there, especially Kurt and St. George, but from lots of you. So don't let me stifle your creativity. All right, this episode is going to have a double ear buddy. And I've written up my pay up for the NHL playoff bets, but that probably won't get into this episode. Maybe it will. I don't know. What we'll not get into this episode is any more intro babble.
On the next episode of Into the Blender, M stays out past curfew with key covering. J tries to raise money for a new surfboard by selling tickets to M's date. Just what will Chooch and Viv do when they return home to find T stuck in the
middle? Wait. Into the Blender isn't a sitcom.
Yeah, it's a weekly podcast that explores the issues around raising a blended family in our modern age.
But don't you have three bright, rambunctious boys from your previous marriages?
True.
And isn't Chooch a tech nerd and Viv a returning college student?
I prefer the term geek, but...
Yes, we're all that, but we're not some lame 70s TV family. We talk about real issues that face blended families every day.
Sure, and we do media reviews and talk about other issues that affect all parents, from video games and movie ratings to dividing chores, attending school functions, everything.
Well, time's almost up and the spot's already paid for, so be sure to catch the next episode of Into the Blender at intotheblender.com. You're my girl!
It's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, aka the Deadpan Ambassador. This is my first audio segment for Ear Buddies 2. Yes, finally. Yes, I'm one of the people who has been slow about it. Sorry. I'm finally coming through with my Ear Buddies segment. This time around, my Ear Buddy is Paul Mackey, aka John Bowes. That's actually one of the reasons why I've been putting off sending my song and recording this segment. Through Paul's contributions to the Deadpan podcast over the years, I feel like I've kind of gotten to know his personality and taste for quirky music, so I wanted to pick a song that was just the right kind of quirky to fit in with the songs that Paul has introduced to the Deadpan. I'm specifically thinking of the Chicken song here. I'm not 100% confident that the song I picked fits the bill, but I picked it because it's kind of quirky and because it's happy, cheerful, and upbeat, so I thought Paul might like it anyway. By the way, I chose this song before I had listened to the song that Paul sent me for this round of Ear Buddies. The song I chose for Paul is called When I'm Up, I Can't Get Down. It's by a band I really love called Great Big Sea. I was first introduced to their music in the summer of 2007 through the pirate-themed internet radio station that I started listening to in my excitement over the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Great Big Sea has a lot of great pirate-themed songs in their catalog, which includes many rockin' covers of traditional sea shanties as well as original compositions. This song is an original composition, as far as I know. I discovered it through YouTube by following a link from the video for one of their other songs that another friend introduced me to. This is one of my favorite songs by them, and one of the only two that I've actually bought so far, the other one being the song that my other friend introduced me to. I would like to buy more someday. Paul, I hope you enjoy When I'm Up, I Can't Get Down.
I had limited exposure to the band Great Big Sea up till now. I have a four-disc set called Oh What a Feeling, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Canada's Juno Music Awards. Great Big Sea's Ordinary Day was included on that set, and I enjoyed that song. I noted similarities to the English folk rock band The Levelers, but didn't take much further notice of the band. When Amy sent me When I'm Up, parenthetical, I Can't Get Down, I looked into Great Big Sea a little further to discover they formed in Newfoundland as a traditional music band exploring Newfie folk music, among which English folk plays a large part. Great Big Sea's album Play led off with Ordinary Day, and the very next track, in fact, was When I'm Up, a cover of a song originally by Oyster Band, an English folk rock band who were contemporaries with The Levelers. Needless to say, I'm quite fond of the sound of When I'm Up, which seems suggestive of a carefree drinking song, though I guess it could also be a descriptive of a manic episode. All in all, it's a song I quite enjoy, and I may need to look further into more recordings by Great Big Sea in the future.
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
All right, June 18th, 2012. This is the last trendy 2012 Avengers thing that I will create myself for Deadpan. I promise. But, you know, just like the intros. If you have a great idea that's hilarious and involves the Avengers, then by all means, go for it. Again, no creativity stifling. All right, here it goes. The cranky guy from the Thor movie with the Gordon Gekko mullet is talking to some other guy in a cloak. We have no idea who the other guy in the cloak is. But he gives greasy-haired guy a scythe that we don't understand, which is somehow connected in a way that no one's explained, to the MacGuffin cube device that the Nazis put in the crappy Captain America movie that they wanted to go into Hitler's room, you know, where they also planned to put their Ark, their Holy Grail, and their holy hand grenade of Antioch. And I believe the Jules from Pulp Fiction actually delivered the glowing device to Nick Fury in a briefcase from Marcellus Wallace. And anyway, the unknown guy in the Palpatine cloak also mentioned to, you know, the greasy Gordon Gekko guy, come on, stay with me, that some army of humanoid things we know nothing about and their giant flying eel buses that we've never seen before would be available when the plot called for them. So after the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent we were forced to like got killed off and that united the heroes, they all stood together to defend Manhattan from the latest onslaught of the dreaded attack of those guys we know nothing about, and their tenuous at best connection to the greasy guy. And, you know, it's, of course, it's right after New York had just cleaned up from Independence Day, Cloverfield, Transformers, and all those other catastrophic CGI invasions. Captain Vanamond America started giving orders to the others. He pointed to Black Desert Pixie Widow in her revealing outfit and said, Rodney King has died. http://www.bbc.co.uk/news/world-us-canada-1847897. She pouted her lips and stuck out her rear end, saying, this is a good momentary Monday, ha. http://mobile.tasteofawesome.com/view/death/1812. Verily. The mighty Espy laughed heartily and hefted her great hammer, Mjolnir, shouting thus, CP, yesterday's democracy now. Holy crap, the JP Morgan guy is scary. He truly believes he, his company, did nothing wrong, as a challenge to the terrible and vague enemy. Iron Man, a.k.a. Ditto Stark, made some snarky remark, then accepted a call from Pepper the Energizer Bunny Potts, pure coincidence there, in her tiny shorts, who said to him worriedly, "Okay, I'll give it a try, Ellipsis, later today. Stupid work gave me another 650 contracts to review." He smirked and replied, "The article notes she ate parboiled squid along with its internal organs. Parboiled is a very brief boil. It isn't fully cooked. Cthulhu will have his revenge," winking smiley. Ding. Hawkeye Lo Pan, dissatisfied with his character's lack of respectability in love scenes with Black Widow, said, Ellipsis, I don't want to play anymore. Then stormed off to the next Bourne movie. Finally, Cap Vanamond pointed to used hair, who had turned into the Hulk, and said simply, "Pah! Berets are for the French." Hulk leapt off and had his scene of smashing Loki, then said gruffly, "Yes, and it took up most of his show. I had to keep skipping and skipping because I haven't seen the movie yet. Made for a very short podcast this week." And after the U.S. Army did something stupid, Iron Man ditto, undid their error, and all the bad guy robots, or whatever they were, fell down simultaneously, giving the heroes the victory. Yay. The first comment anyone made that week at the Shawarma restaurant was from Hugh and Dre, who said, "Firsties? Really?" The end.
Nobody loves you, but don't feel special. Nobody is a dirty, dirty whore. This is Marlo Diane, and you are listening to The Deadpan.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Deadpan. This is Paul Mackey calling from the platform for the North Star Rail on the way down to the Twins game, celebrating Fox's last day of kindergarten that he just got home from. Hey, Fox, say something to the Deadpan.
Hello, Deadpan.
Tell them where you're going.
I'm going to the Twins game.
And who are they playing?
Who?
Who are they playing?
They are playing the Twins.
Now, who's playing against the Twins?
Cubs.
Cubs. Where are they from?
Castle.
Chicago.
Chicago.
They're the Chicago Cubs. So who do you want to win?
The Twins.
The Twins, huh? Okay, well, I think there's a freight train coming, Jack, so we're gonna hang up the phone before that noise comes along. Anyway, we're having a good time, and we will talk to y'all later. Bye.
Hey, Deadpan, this is Vanamond with my contribution to the ER Buddy section. My partner was Lejeune, and I sent him the link to Future So Bright, I Got Away Shades by Timbuktu3. This is a track, another nostalgia trip for me, really. It's the first year when it came out in the 80s. Timbuktu3 were basically a one-hit wonder in the UK, and for years I didn't listen to any other music by Timbuktu3. This was the one track I had. I still got the 45, and it's just a song that I enjoy listening to. I can't really go into any deeper analysis than that. It's just one of these, for me, it feels like a graduation song, a feel good song. The tune's sort of upbeat, and I just really enjoy it. It wasn't until later I discovered that the actual writer for the song said the song was actually quite about nuclear annihilation, so actually it was a lot darker than the impression I was getting by listening to the track. When I got my hands on Spotify, I tried listening to some of the Timbuktu3 albums, and I just couldn't get away with the band. So The Picture So Bright I Got Away Shades is the one song by them that I actually really, really enjoy. I'm looking forward to hearing what Lejeune thinks.
This is Sean from the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing podcast at adventuresinscifipublishing.com, and I'm Deadpan. Are you Deadpan? And here is your host, Jack Wilma Flintstone's Vibrator Mangan of the Jack Mangan Deadpan podcast. Bzzz.
Hey, Jack. This is Jean from Chandler, calling in my ear buddy's response. Vanimon sent me the old Timbuk 3 song, The Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades, from 1986. And the song brought back a few memories. The most potent one, for some reason, was the fact that it was used in the old sitcom Head of the Class at one point as part of the class's own homemade video project. Which, of course, since they were geniuses, turned out to be fantastic, or at least to a 16-year-old, which is what I was pretty much at the time. Anyway, the song never really did all that much for me. I thought it was cute. It was great to listen to every now and again, and I like hearing it on old radio stations, oldies radio stations, as they play it. Good memories, good nostalgia sitting with it. But at the time, it never did a whole lot for me. It does a lot more for me now than it did back then. Which is funny, because as far as I'm concerned, my future's probably not as bright as it was back then. Either way, I still got to wear shades, so it's kind of cool. On the flip side, my buddy Vanimon got from me a song by The Verve called Bittersweet Symphony. I was really torn over what to send Van. It took me probably a good 2 or 3 weeks after he sent me his choice for me to come up with something for him. I wanted something that would fit with what I liked and what I thought he might like. And then there, of course, is this huge history behind the song itself, because The Verve went through efforts to get the riff that plays in the background. They went through great effort to get from the Rolling Stones that background riff, and then after the song begins to make a little bit of money, the legal department on the Rolling Stones decides to take back the offered or the agreed upon riff, saying that they used too much of it, and so now the Rolling Stones are making all of the money off of the song that gets the radio play, even though The Verve wrote the song. Now the writing credits all go to Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, which I think is total and utter crap, but I think the song is awesome, and I first heard it on the end of the soundtrack to Cruel Intentions, which, not the best movie in the world, although it does seem to have a cult following, but the song really kind of hit home for me as a punctuation to the film, and I've loved it ever since. And I hope Van has loved it, or at least thinks it's passable for an Ear Buddies compilation. Thanks a lot.
Well, John's choice for me was Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve. Although I've heard of the track before, it was very popular on the video music channels when I first got cable in the late 90s. And I found the track at the time rather dreary, but the video stuck in my mind. If you haven't seen it, it's Richard Ashcroft as the singer of The Verve walking up the street ignoring everybody. And I find the video better than the song. During the early 80s, there was a comedy show on the BBC called Not the 9 O'Clock News. And it did a Mickey take a video. They did a spoof video, and it, what the track of the song was, nice video, shame about the song. And I think with this track, the video is better than the actual song for me. And the video stays in my memory more than the song does. So that's my thoughts on Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve.
Hey, Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen again. To start off part two of my Ear Buddies segment, I'll read you the email that Paul sent me with my song attached to it. Amy, here is a song for you by a band called Hello the Future. The song title is Really Awesome Johns, and I have permission from Blue, the singer/performer who basically is Hello the Future, to share it with you and play it on the Deadpan. I look forward to your song choice. Paul Mackey. My first impression from the title was, interesting parallel to Really Big Things. Interesting. Here are my first impressions from when I listened to it for the first time. Good pick, Paul. This song made me smile. I love songs about geeky stuff. I have to admit, though, that I was only familiar with 3 of the 5 Johns that this song is about, namely Jonathan Colton, John Stewart, and John Hodgman. I had to look up who John Flansburgh and John Linnell were, but when I did, I went, oh yeah, I know they might be giants. This song is all about how these 5 guys named John all work together and are all geek superstars, and how awesome they all are. In fact, the singer has dubbed them the League of Extraordinary Johntlemen, which I love. I can totally picture all of them getting together and playing Scrabble, by the way. And no, I had no idea that Jonathan Colton was making an album with John Flansburgh. That is really exciting. I also love how the album artwork picture for this song is the chart that the singer has drawn. I wish it were bigger, though, because I can't really read all the text on it as it is. Overall, I really like this song because it's so positive. It praises some extraordinary people who really deserve it. I also like it because it's so geeky. On a final note, Paul, your choice of song makes me wonder. Did you pick John Bowes as your screen name because you wish your name were John? If so, is it for the same reasons as the singer of this song? I'll leave the Deadpan with that point to ponder.
I first became aware of Hello the Future when Nicole contacted me on Twitter, inviting me to check out her album Infinity Right Now. It's not a stretch to say the album full of robots, monkeys, and all manner of geek culture was designed with a listener like me or Amy Bowen in mind. Since I first became aware of her, Nicole has executive produced a benefit cover version of They Might Be Giants' Mink Car album to benefit the New York Fire Department Foundation and played on a cruise ship show hosted by a certain prominent geek musician. The album, Infinity Right Now, has a certain bedroom recording aesthetic and 8-bit inspired graphics. The song I've selected for Amy Bowen is Really Awesome Johns. It focuses on the, quote, League of Extraordinary Johntlemen at the center of geek culture and should serve as an introduction to the perspective and style of Hello the Future.
This is SB, a.k.a. Smooth Like Butter. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan, it's always close enough to your mouth. Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
Okay, so if you didn't follow our recent NHL playoff movie bets, then some of this bit may be lost on you, but you know, the gist should hopefully still work. For the playoffs this year, I had the Nashville Predators, who beat the Detroit Red Wings, but then they lost to the Phoenix Coyotes, which meant that I had to watch either the Phoenix Lights or the Cutting Edge. I also had the New Jersey Devils, who beat the Florida Panthers, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the New York Rangers, but lost in the finals to the fucking LA Kings, which meant I had to watch either LA Story or Born in East LA. You know, there were some other movies along the way that I might have had to watch had my teams lost, like I would have had to watch Cocoon if the Devils lost to Florida, Rocky Balboa if the Flyers won, Warriors or Made in Manhattan for the Rangers, but you know, it all got kind of confusing. I got them all mixed up. What I had to watch, what I didn't have to watch. So, you know, I just watched all of them. Just in one big, long session. But now, you know, my recollection of all these movies is a bit hazy as a result. Still, you know, I'm going to be good on my debt and give a summary. So, between Born in East L.A. and Cocoon and Phoenix Lights and Warriors and all these movies, as far as I can remember, a bunch of mysterious lights appeared over Phoenix, and they landed in a Sun City retirement community pool bestowing youthful energy on all the geezers there. Cheech was hiding out in a next-door factory because he got framed by this guy Luther, who's the psychotic leader of the Rogues gang, for killing the gang prophet Cyrus. But then Sheriff Joe Arpaio came in and busted everyone as illegal aliens. A small group of them got away, they ran through the streets of New York, and then they fought a bunch of other gangs with fun uniforms on the way. And then, of course, they met a beautiful housekeeping maid who needed a figure skating partner. So since old, decrepit Rocky Balboa had been reinvigorated by the Phoenix Light cocoons in his pool, he figured his boxing skills would help in hockey and figure skating. So they entered the ice dancing competition against Don Amici and Steve Martin and fell in love along the way, while Dustin Brown taunted them by saying... But in spite of that, they managed to win the gold and get back to East L.A. in dramatic fashion. I think that's how it went. All right, I have lots of great Earbuddy stuff for next week. And here's a big announcement. Earbuddies is now going to be an ongoing thing. It's not going to be a periodic thing. So I already have one volunteer for the ongoing Earbuddies. If you would like to jump in, then just send me an email or say something on the boards and let me know. And like I said, you already have a partner waiting for you. And Earbuddies will just happen as they happen from now on. We're not going to do an Earbuddies Part 3. It's kind of going to be like the Batman films. It'll be Part 1, Part 2, and then Earbuddies forever. Or at least Earbuddies until 288. All right, I've had enough. You've had enough. We're done here. Voicemails would be awesome. Thanks, Paul Mackey, for that one earlier. 480-788-JMDP. 488-78... No. 480-788-5637. Oh, and speaking of those Earbuddies things, there are only two of you out there who still need to get me your Earbuddies, and your partners may soon have solo spots run. And, okay, and coming up soon, I have a long, awesome, fun talk with Tony Mast, and we're going to be voting very soon. Buckaroo Banzai versus Blade Runner. So, I don't know, start thinking about it. All right, no more outro babble. Good night, Mush.
which I think is total and utter crap.